Good afternoon, Shadow Hills. Well, I am back, and I am so happy to be back. L.A. was great, but it's not as beautiful as it is here. And I've had my second vaccine, so I am good to go. What I think is very underreported is how miraculous these vaccines are. And in the trials, there were zero hospitalizations and zero deaths after, no matter what the vaccine was used. So chin up. This is going to be over soon, and Kim has some news today. Kim?
Good afternoon, everyone, and I'm back to answer some questions because my email and phone have been quite busy in the last couple days given all the election issues. So let me go through, and the big thing I got to explain is the waivers, the waiver history, what's going on and what we're going to do because some questions have come up. But let me go through some other questions that have come up here recently to make sure we all understand. On the election rules, first of all, yes, candidates or a candidate representative may go door to door. That is allowed. They have to wear masks. They can't leave anything unless you want it to be left. No flyers can be left unless you give permission. Now, if you don't want somebody to come door to door, just put a little sign out front saying no solicitation, and that's the sign that tells a candidate they're not supposed to knock on your door. Now, a lot of questions have come up about emails. So all of you are getting emails probably from all the candidates and or other residents. So let me tell you what that's about. Again, the state of California made new laws a couple years ago, and that law requires the HOA to give an email list to the candidates for the purposes of the election. We have no choice. We have to give that email list. Now, the candidates can give that list to other people, representatives, who can send emails out to everybody that they support. So you could get an email from anybody in the complex, in the community, talking about the election and who they want to vote for. It's okay. So to tell you, the HOA has no choice. We have to give out that email list. And the only people who aren't on that list are people who filled out an opt-out form so that they would not be on the public email list. Now, all you need to do is tell the whoever sends you an email, if you don't want any more, just respond and say, please don't send me any more messages. Everybody's respectful. They will stop. So that's okay. Yes, residents may help candidates. So people who support a certain candidate, they're allowed to help them and send emails and go door to door. They can do all that. So emails, that's what that's all about. Another question I'm getting was, residents, by the way, to clear this up, residents are not responsible for the traffic violations of a vendor. That stopped years ago. That stopped, I believe, the board stopped that my first year, 3 or 4 years ago. So if you go to the website and look up the vendor rules under the documents, you will see there, it's right in red, bold letters, that only people responsible for a vendor citation is the vendor. Now, COVID. Okay, COVID, the COVID vaccines. People have said, now I got my vaccines, I should be able to go use the gym. I said, I would love to have you use the gym. The state of California says you can't use the gym, even if you got vaccines. We are waiting, hoping. We're hoping for something to change in order to open up certain facilities, especially given if they have vaccines. How the board's going to react based upon people with vaccines, without vaccine, I have no idea. We have to wait until we get state and county orders, have it analyzed, and then decide how to proceed. How we proceed, we have to be very careful because of the potential liability. Now, that brings up some people have asked me now, more about insurance, COVID, and liability. So let me explain what this is all about. Insurance companies have a specific exclusion in the policy where they don't cover viruses. So if there's a claim that the HOA caused somebody to get a virus, we have no insurance for that. It's that simple. That's the whole premise behind the fact we have to follow the state guideline. If we don't follow the state guideline and somebody was to get the virus, they could claim they got it because of our negligence, and they could file a claim against the HOA, and we don't have insurance, which means we have to pay for it out of our checking account for the HOA, and depending on the size of the claim, we might have to do a special assessment. That's the liability risk that we're trying to avoid very, very carefully. Now, that's the reason the HOA will not give permission for a gathering unless it's approved by the state. So the state has approved a gathering of 3 households in your backyard. That's approved. Please do it. Enjoy yourself. What the state has made clear is there can be no gatherings inside. So what do we say? I'm going to repeat it. Since last June, the board has said we are not looking for a violation of the state order on private property. That is not giving you permission. We will not give permission. If we give permission, we're liable. That's the line in the sand. We have to be extremely careful. So as we go forward and open, we will need to be very careful about how we open to make sure we follow the rules, to make sure the HOA is not liable, because that could come back and every one of us could be writing checks right out of our pocket, which will also fall back onto this waiver issue, which I'll now talk about. Whether we have waivers or whether we don't have waivers, we have to follow the rules to make sure we're not liable. So if we don't have waivers, we have to be really careful. We've got to follow the law to the letter. Now let's talk about waivers. Okay, we've had waivers for years. They've had waivers here since the beginning of the development. That's nothing new. If somebody wanted to use the gym, they'd sign a waiver before they would be allowed access. Now, waivers are not required for certain areas. Like if people are walking on the North Channel, there's no waiver. We don't require waivers for that. There's no way to track it. How would you even keep track? But over the years, clubs and groups and members of clubs and groups would sign a waiver. So, for instance, we would send a waiver to the men's golf club, the ladies' golf club, the tennis club, the pickleball club, and they would distribute the waiver to their members and then resubmit to the HOA a list of the members along with verification that everybody signed a waiver. So that's been the process for years. Now, as I announced last Monday at the board meeting, there were residents who had reviewed the waiver and had comments and suggestions about changes to the waiver for which the board thought was reasonable. And as I said, we were going to review those comments and decide on potential language changes for the waiver. And once done, then we would redistribute a new waiver. Now, what came up here a couple days ago, I can't remember when I got it, Tuesday maybe, we received the message from Bob Israel that he posted on Nextdoor, and in that message, he raises a point that the HOA might not have the authority to require a waiver. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's very different than saying we should revise the waiver. So in other words, if we don't have the authority to even require a waiver, well then we don't need to revise it, do we? We would have to. So the first step is we have to determine now if the HOA can even require it. So currently, to tell you, that changed the course of action. We're no longer is anybody reviewing the waiver for revisions. We're not doing that now. We currently have 3 lawyers, plus the law firm that represents the HOA, reviewing the governing documents and Bob's comments to determine if they're valid. We have to find out, can we require waiver or not? Now, once they complete that review, the board can then decide how to proceed. If we can't require a waiver, if the recommendation and lawyers and the board believes we can't require a waiver, well, then it seems to revise a waiver would be worthless, irrelevant. We don't need to do it, right? You get me on this? So we still have to decide if we can even have a waiver before anybody decides on revision. I do not believe in my wildest dreams a voluntary waiver will go forward. I can't imagine the board saying, oh, we're going to send out waivers and you can voluntarily sign it. Who would do that? So if the HOA can't require a waiver, my vote is you eliminate them. We don't have them anymore. There would be no reason. Now, hopefully we will get that recommendation from those attorneys by the end of next week. We have plenty of time here. I don't believe the state's going to allow gatherings inside that clubhouse in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I just don't feel that. I feel there's going to be, you know, slow lifting of restrictions, but we'll see. Now, how did this all come about? Let me go back. In 2014, this subject was reviewed by the law firm. And they wrote an opinion and gave back to the board at that time. Naturally, 2014, I wasn't on the board. I was elected in 2017. And their opinion was that waivers can be required. And because of that opinion, the board has acted on that opinion since 2014 by requiring waivers. Now, Bob Israel's comments have raised the issue again, so we're going to investigate it very carefully. I will be the first one to say, you know, you can ask a lot of attorneys different opinions and you get a lot of answers. So although we had an opinion based upon governing documents in 2014, what if Bob's right? What if an opinion today is we can't require waivers? There's also between 2014 and today changes in the state code that we still have to abide by. So it seems prudent and responsible that we investigate Bob's comments carefully, because if he's correct, we need to proceed based upon what's legal. Now, in the meantime, until we get that recommendation, until the board decides what to do, and the board decides how to proceed, in the meantime, if you want to go swimming, if you want to play tennis, which you do on your reservation system, or if you come and you don't do it on a reservation system, a waiver is required. That is because the current board directive is a waiver is required. I have no authority to overturn a board directive. I can't do that. The staff can't do that. While this is being investigated, we have to implement the board directive. So what this will mean is, until the board changes that directive, waivers are required. Now, clubs and groups, you can all wait. I mean, those of you who don't want to sign a waiver or send it out right now, don't do it. It's okay. If all of a sudden, this is the hypothetical. If the state said on Monday that we could open the billiards room, we would require a waiver to walk into that billiards room because the current board directive is a waiver is required. If then on Thursday, we get an opinion that says waivers are not required and we can't require them, well, then the board would have to make a decision, vote on it, and then if they decided no waivers are required, that's how it would proceed. Y'all follow me? We have to follow the due process. We have to follow our own rules and regs, and I have no authority just to do it on my own. So, for the moment, the first step is, can we require a waiver? That has to be determined, and that's being done now. While that's being determined, if you wish to participate in an activity, a waiver is required because that's the current board directive way back from 2014. The reason it hasn't been reviewed is once the board made a directive, everybody continued on that path since 2014. This issue's not been raised until Bob Israel raised the comment. And understand there's two different things going on. It's one thing to raise the comment about the waiver being overbroad, or we want to change the language. That is separate from you can't have a waiver. Okay. If it's determined we can't have a waiver, we can't have a waiver. Now, as we go down this road too, keep in mind guests, the responsibility of guests, homeowners' responsibility of guests has nothing to do with the waiver. It happens that in the waiver, because we're trying to be as clear as possible, there is language that states a resident is responsible for guests. That language, however, comes from the governing documents. So even if the opinion in the board says we're not going to require waivers anymore, residents are responsible for their guests because in multiple sections of the CC&R and bylaws, it states that residents are responsible for their guests, including how they act and any damages they cause. So the governing documents make it clear that if a guest of a resident damages something, the resident has to pay for it, and the resident would then have to go to the guest to be reimbursed. So whether the waiver is required or not, that fact will not change, because that's in the governing documents in multiple locations. So keep those two things a little separated. So some people are equating one with the other. That is not the case. Resident, you're responsible for your guests. Waiver will be a different story, and whether we can require them or not will be determined. Once that's determined, we can then decide how to proceed. If it's decided that we can't have a waiver, well, then proceeding's easy. We're not going to do it. If it's determined we can require a waiver, then the board will have to decide on revisions before the revisions go out. Hopefully that brings you up to speed, but if I didn't answer your question, send me an email. I got a whole bunch today about this stuff. So I have a nice answer. I do cut and paste and make it all work. But otherwise, give me a call or send me an email. In the meantime, please be careful. Have a safe weekend. And slowly but surely, we're getting there. Take care.
So let me just ask a question so we're clear. There are a number of clubs that would normally meet in the clubhouse but are currently meeting remotely. They have sent out the waiver, those members might as well wait unless the state decides, gives all of a sudden permission for people to come back to the clubhouse. There's no real benefit in signing the waiver now. They might as well wait until this all settles out.
Exactly. Okay. For two reasons. One, if it's determined that we can't require a waiver at all, then what the heck? Two, the waiver is going to be revised because some of the comments from residents to the board found reasonable in Monday's meeting. Okay. So we know parts of that waiver in language will be revised. Now, if somebody has signed a waiver, don't worry about it. When the new one comes out, the new one would have language and a date which would override the old one. So even if you didn't like the first one, the new one, it would override the old one. But if you haven't signed one, don't worry about it. Now, I preface that with making clear, if on Monday they say billiards is open, you're not going to get in without signing that waiver,
right.
Whether you like it or not.
Right.
That's the board directive. I can't set that
zero.
Aside. I'm sorry. I don't have that power.
Right.
I have to follow the board directive, and the board is not going to make a decision on that till they get the opinion. You have to understand, the last legal opinion we have, which I've gotten and I've read from 2014, says we may require a waiver. They might be wrong. We're going to now let some new lawyers look at it.
So the bottom line is just hang in there, enjoy this beautiful weekend that we're going to have. And be safe, because we are so close to being at the end of this. If you got the virus now, you have really messed up. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.